scripture meditation this morning is coming to us from St. John chapter 6, 38th verse through the 40th verse. And in these three small verses this morning, God is going to speak to us. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject Jesus, the heaven sent. Jesus, heaven sent. St. John chapter 6, verse 38 through 40. Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those who he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Everyone that believes in Jesus Christ, the promise is you shall have eternal life, and he says, I will raise them up at the last day." I don't care how down you are today and how things seem to be on a downward spiral, I want you to know that Jesus Christ was sent to earth to lift us up, to raise us up from despondency, from discouragement, and even from the grave. Our hope is built in and on the Lord. Want to come this morning? I'm coming to you this morning in a theological mantle of what is classified as Christian apologetic. And that is one who simply attempts to defend or to prove a religious doctrine. Therefore, that perspective requires me to focus on giving you information rather than inspiration. So you might not be hollering this morning, but I want to tell you that there's a word here for you. Jesus Christ is a heaven sent to the earth. I want you to camp out with me for a little while. I won't be able to finish this text, but I'll come back to it next Sunday, Lord's willing. But I want you to hear me now. I want you to pull up a chair. I want you to turn everything down or turn everything off so that you can hear the word of God. Because don't look to a man now. Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ want to talk to you. Ladies and gentlemen, stand here before you today with boldness and intrepidity, with unapologetic and impenitent, a resolute, confident, fully persuaded that of all the individuals that have ever stained the canvas of time, undoubtedly history will concur that there has never been one such as he who by his invincible power and unparalleled authority commanded the forces of nature into submission, compelled tyrants and demagogues to renounce lawlessness and iniquity, converted communities, transformed endless cultures and societies throughout the universe, subdued the kingdoms of darkness, and today he reveres, hallelujah to God, he is revered and adored, venerated, celebrated, and exalted as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Doubtlessly, the record will prove that when mortality crosses over into eternity and when time would have rolled up like an ancient scroll, the whole world will be forced to testify that of all men that has ever lived. Never has there been one so majestic and simplistic, yet so incomprehensible and enigmatic. Never has there been one so captivating and intriguing, yet so misunderstood and misrepresented. Never has there been one so kind, one so tender-hearted and compassionate, yet so controversial and unappreciated. Never has there been one so meek and gentle, yet one so radical, militant, and revolutionary. Never has there been one so adorable, so loved and treasured, yet one so hated, reviled, and resented. Throughout all of the ages, the chroniclers and narrators of history will forever proclaim, never has there been one so marvelous, magnificent, and enthralling. Yet one treated with such scorn and contempt. Never has there been one so pervasive, persuasive, one so incredible, one so convincing. Yet never has there been one such as he, so repudiated, so doubted, and rejected and despised. To the skeptics, the agnostics, the religious lunatic, Jesus remains a mystery. But to the redeemed of the Lord, those who, amen, whose lives and destiny have been forever changed and transformed, Jesus of Nazareth is the greatest phenomenon that the world has ever known. Jesus Christ is the greatest phenomenon that has ever happened to the world. Immaculate, you've got to understand here, immaculate conception facilitated by a peasant virgin in an honor, amen, an unknown king, born a stranger in a lowly manger. Yes, 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 claiming to be Messiah, Savior, Deliverer, King's Man, Redeemer. To this ancient Jewish Orthodox society, hallelujah, this unthinkable narrative, this unfounded, amen, preposterous proclamation wasn't just perceived, amen, as fictional, hallelujah, to God, and comical. In a staunch pluralistic culture, hallelujah to God, this was this pharisaical culture, this was downright offensive, this was blasphemous and scandalous. Yes, it was. But regardless of what your opinion is of Jesus, once you encounter him, whether you believe it or doubt him, revere or disdain him, accept or reject him, you either walk away with the compulsion to love him or to serve him, hallelujah to God, or to revile, hallelujah to God, the good, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You got to understand here, you either love him or you hate him. But regardless how some see it, Jesus is either who the scripture claims that he is, or he is the greatest fraudster, the greatest imposter that the world has ever known. On the contrary, my brothers and sisters, without endless debates or hopeless controversy, I've come to arise, amen, this morning to declare categorically and unashamedly that regardless of, amen, regardless of the innumerable assumptions, the suppositions, the speculations and suggestions or opinions, as from me and my house, Jesus Christ is and will forever be, amen, the core and the crux, the source and the very essence of my very being. Oh my God, irrespective of the propagandas, the flagrant disputations and the erroneous allegations, there are those of us, hallelujah to God, who stands ready to say Jesus is the lifeblood. He is the lifeline. He is the bedrock. He is the cornerstone and the backbone, the wellspring and the fountainhead of our existence. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Somebody will have to pardon me if I quote from the hymnologist, hallelujah to God, Will L. Thompson, who declares back in 1904, he penned these words. He said, Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, and my all. He is my strength from day day to day. Without him I would fall. When I'm sad, hallelujah to God, I go to him. No other one can cheer me so. When I'm sad, he makes me glad. Can I shout, Jesus is my friend? Shout hallelujah, somebody. Now I don't know what you say, but that's who Jesus is to me. Contrary to the teachings of Christianity, Judaism holds that Jesus was, hallelujah, a false, duplicitous, amen, Messiah, a vile miscreant. That is to say that Jesus was a worthless, deceitful, amen, bastardized troublemaker. But that's what some Orthodox Jews say. According to the Islamic faith, Muslims believe that Jesus is the penultimate, amen, prophet. That is to say, the second to last messenger of Allah, Messiah sent to guide the children of Israel with a new revelation of the gospel, chronicled and recorded in 93 verses in the Quran. Jesus is regarded and referred to as a significant religious figure, albeit according to Islamic theology, though they assert that Jesus had the incredible supernatural attributes and powers, hallelujah, the God of a deity. Amen. They vehemently claim, or they deny the validity, hallelujah, of his divinity. Amen. Citing that he was simply the precursor or the forerunner of Elijah Muhammad. Hear me today. Islam concludes unequivocally that though a good man, Jesus of Nazareth was not, hallelujah, the incarnate son of the living God. Hallelujah, somebody. But that's the dogmatic, ideological misconception of those who have never experienced a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. I come to tell you that according to, amen, the philosophical, amen, polytheistic, multi-god religious belief and practices of Hinduism, Hindus esteem Jesus as a holy man, a wise teacher, as well as one, amen, of the pantheon of gods. And that's where you're wrong, because you cannot try to amalgamate the God with false, fictitious gods. He's either God of the universe which he created, or he's no God at all. But I've come to tell you that he is Lord and God, whether you believe it or not. Though they acknowledge his deity, they boldly repudiate the exclusivity and the supremacy of his divine sovereignty. They contended that while Jesus is a God, he is not the only God. But that's the pluralistic misconception, hallelujah, of the Hindu culture. Similarly, in the discombobulated, misguided, and confused minds of the worshippers of Buddhism, we see the same, amen, erroneous, amen, persuasion, whereby Buddhists contend that although Jesus was an undeniable, kind-hearted, inspiring leader, inspiring teacher, in their eyes, Jesus is far from being divine. But that's what the false pseudo religious beliefs of amen of the Buddhists is. Oh my God, let me state my claim today. The irrevocable reality concludes that Jesus is
far, hallelujah to God, by far is the most prominent religious leader and the most frequent mentioned quote and quoted by religious groups. If you listen closely, you will find that every major religious movement, either those with the most bellicose oppositional contrary ideologies, they consider Jesus to be an important religious figure. Every movement makes some effort to account for the existence and teachings, hallelujah, somebody, in one form or the other. Most religion, hallelujah to God, recognize his humanity. Yes, they do. But until Jesus is glorified, venerated, and exalted, until Jesus sits upon the throne of your heart, until Jesus is exalted far above powers, above principalities, and above authorities, your confession is nothing but an empty fallacy, hallelujah, and a flagrant insult to the supremacy of Jesus. Come on, somebody. This is why Paul says, I'm not in the popularity business. He declares, you believe what you believe, hallelujah, but in Jesus we've got hope. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Yes, it is. It is the hope for humanity. He is the answer to all of your problems. Somebody give the Lord praise. I feel God. I feel God in this empty church today. Religions want to tease, toy, fantasize, and flirt with Jesus. Until Jesus becomes the supreme authority in our lives, we do nothing but defame, malign, distort, and discredit his omnipotence. Are you hearing me, somebody? But I read in the word of God in Philippians chapter 2 and the verse 10 that reminds us of the superiority and the supremacy of Jesus when he cited a familiar quote from the Old Testament, which contends, at the name of Jesus, the Bible declares, every knee shall bow, every knee in heaven, every knee on earth, and every knee under the earth, all of the universe, with all of the powers, hallelujah to God, will have to genuflect, they'll have to bow down, they'll have to offer obeisance to Jesus. Hallelujah, the monarchical rule and the religious potentate of all that is in the earth. Are you hearing me, somebody? When the wind blows, hallelujah, and the breeze and the leaves, hallelujah to God, sway in the breeze, it is to give God glory to the Creator. I come to tell you, you can make him an enemy or you can make him your savior. But in the long run, when it's all over, it's gonna be Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's gonna be Jesus. False, pseudo, fictitious, man-made gods are competing for first place. They are competing for a spot called deity. I don't care what nation, hallelujah, you came from. I don't care if you're from India or China. I don't care if you're from the back skirts of Africa. I don't care if you're from the jungles of the most remote parts of the world. I'm here to tell you that your ancestors that died, that they are not God. Come on, somebody. That there's no other God that can offer salvation from sin. We have seen the works of the devil. He might be able to, amen, so-called solve some problems in your life. But you hear me today. You who are burning candles early in the morning and in the midnight hour, hallelujah to God, seeking power from Satan, you and your God will be burnt in a Christless hell unless you turn around. Seek ye the Lord God Almighty, who sits upon the throne. He is the only God. Behold, the Lord thy God, he is one, and besides him there is no other. Hear me what I'm shouting, hear me what I'm spitting out. One day this mortal world will see the King of Glory, hallelujah to God, riding on the clouds, hallelujah to God, as he declared, hallelujah, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
When I hear the name Bush, when I hear the name Barack, I find no incentive to bow down. When I hear the name Pence or I hear the name Trump, I'm not inspired, I'm not impressed, hallelujah to God, or inveigled to bow, because no man whatsoever, hallelujah, stands in the place of divine deity. He is God all by himself. He doesn't share the stage or the platforms of the world with anybody else. He is high and lifted up. He is exalted. The King is exalted. You say, where is your God? I don't see him. I come to tell you, you see your false God. But the Bible declares that the earth and the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament show it forth, his handiwork. You may not see him physically, for he told Moses, no man can look upon me and live. But I come to declare today that he lives, he lives, he lives, he lives within our hearts.
You don't know life until you've met Christ. I don't need to shoot nothing up, and I don't need to sip nothing, and I don't need to swallow anything in order to cope or to make it through the day. I'm here to tell you, I see you. You just happen to be watching, shaking. You got the shakes, don't you? Yeah, you need another shoot up. If you just turn to Jesus, bow on your knees right where you are and ask him please to come into your life, he'll totally eradicate. He will completely transform your life. You'll find peace like you've never known in all of your natural existence. God, I feel you. Though untold millions still question and repudiate the veracity and the authenticity of Jesus, some of the world's most prodigious scholars, esteemed academicians, have all concluded that the evidence of Jesus is too overwhelming and overpowering to be contradicted, underrated or negated. You've got to hear me here. Repulsed by the illiteracy, you know, the idiocy, the lunacy of the atheists. In Psalms 14 and verse 1, the psalmist points out that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. I don't care how bright you are. I don't care if you're a brainiac. I've come to tell you that the word of God calls you a fool. I don't care if you sit at the apex of scholastic achievements without the knowledge of Jesus Christ, without the knowledge of God, hallelujah to God, in your heart that rules this universe, you're a fool. Despite the accumulation accumulation of knowledge. Hallelujah to God. If you think you're a God, you're a fool. Hallelujah to God. If you think that Buddha, Muhammad, or any other thing is, hallelujah to God, is a God, you're a double fool. Don't get mad with me, I didn't say it. I come to open your eyes with the word of God. Hallelujah. He's the only wise God.
Yes, yes. So then he says you're a fool. So then let's now come to the world's most astute, prolific thinkers to hear their unrefutable, definitive opinions about Jesus, the major born king. Let me tell you, not about the worldly wise, nor the opinions of those that think that they understand from the very, they can trace back to millions of years by measuring a rock that they have determined how old the earth is. Let me consult with some of the brightest men and women that the world has ever known, and let us hear their conclusion and conviction. To begin with, the legendary scientist, the renowned mathematician, Albert Einstein, said it this way. He says, "I am a Jew, but I am enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene. Jesus is too colossal. That is, he's too big, he's too large to be measured for the pen, amen, of phrase mongers, however artful. By Einstein's estimation, no man can read the gospel without feeling the actual presence of Jesus." This is what Albert Einstein says. No man can read the word of God without feeling the natural presence of Jesus. When I read about Stalin, when I read about Marx, when I read about Winston Churchill, when I read about Alexander the Great, there is no grandiloquent, grandiose sensation that somehow overtakes me. But according to Einstein, when I read about Jesus of Nazareth, his personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled, hallelujah to God, with such life. Are you hearing me, somebody? This is what Einstein says. He said Theos and other heroes of his type, they lack the authentic validity, hallelujah to God, of Jesus. In other words, according to Einstein, Jesus is the unquestionable, superior, the matchless and transcending one who stands supreme, hallelujah to God, in a class all by himself. There is no one to be compared to Jesus. Nobody like him. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Ladies and gentlemen, our God is like no other. The indisputable fact determines that he reigns forever. Yes. Take advantage of now, for there is a day in eternity. If you do not bow now to him, there is a day in eternity when you will bow. People are leaving the earth right now. Thousands of people are leaving the earth right now as I speak. And some are entering into paradise because they trusted Christ. And there are those who haven't yet fallen in, but they have felt the flames of the next world that is never ending. You say, "Preacher, why are you so bitter and angry?" Oh, is that what you call it? There will be a day when you will stand before the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Not to argue For you will never be able to repudiate or to contest his righteous decrees. I'm here to tell you, you either bow now or burn later. Glory be to God. This is not the time for polish, amen, feel good Christianity and religion. I have not come to stimulate you. Hallelujah. Amen. I've not come to stimulate your flesh, but to provoke your righteous mind. Glory be to God. I've come to tell you, you've got to open your eyes. Don't you realize that there is one that sits above the circles of the earth. Hallelujah to God, who controls the movement and the order of the day. His name is Jesus. This was the exact sentiments of French general, politician, and emperor Napoleon Bonaparte when he echoed these compelling words. This is what Napoleon says. He says, I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is more than a man. Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Hallelujah, somebody. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and myself. Hallelujah. Napoleon says, amen, founded empires. But what foundation did we rest? Hallelujah to God. Did we rest the creation of our genius? He says, upon force. Oh my God. Quite the contrary. Here is the caveat. Jesus Christ founded an empire. He founded a kingdom upon love. And at this very hour, millions would die for him. Therefore, according to Napoleon, not only is he unparalleled, hallelujah, unrivaled, hallelujah, Jesus stands above all others. In fact, Jesus is to die for. Somebody help me stop by this morning to tell you, hallelujah, that to know Jesus is to serve he who didn't even blink an eye to pay the price for our dying soul, to redeem the lost, and to amen, and every dying soul, that they might find life. His name is Jesus.
Honey, in a bad day, I see you. In a bad day, you frown at this message. For you say, how is he a good God? And why are we going through this? So let me ask you something. Let's not talk about the why. Let's not question his divinity or deity. Because you cannot reverse it. It is who he is. Listen to me. How good have you been? How good have you been to God to prevent the wrath of God and the judgment of God? Who determined who's qualified? Are any of us qualified for the mercies of God? For the grace of God? Have you been so good that you are exempt from the lashes of the Father? Or do you think he's a God that disciplines us? And the world has turned away from him. And I will tell you this, that in the hour of discipline, and this is the hour of discipline, he comes to awaken our consciousness. Hallelujah to God, to his supremacy. Do not question him, or you will never know mercy or grace. I'm not talking about the innocent questions about what is happening. I'm talking about the derogatory condemnatory attitude with which you go to God as if somehow he owes you something. Brothers and sisters, he owes us nothing. And for the believer, if you're a child of God, stop whimpering and whining. Have you forgotten what the disciples paid so that we might have the gospel? Have you forgotten the days of severe persecution and we have not yet resisted unto blood? It's a double win for us. If we die in this season, then our journey of frustration, our journey of suffering, our journey of fatigue and tyranny is over. We go to be with him. Death is a promotion for the believer. But for those who have rejected him, there awaits an unparalleled dread and deluge, indescribable by the tongues of men. My brothers and sisters, there is more than 1,000 nightmares or 1,000 horror movies amalgamated cannot describe one solitary minute in the lake of fire. If I were you, I would not be so concerned about coronavirus as if somehow it is an indispensable God who comes to terrorize, to kill, steal, and to destroy, and you are falling victim of it. There is a God who reigns victoriously above every evil and whose ultimate good, hallelujah to God, will be accomplished in his own time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to our God. Without a doubt, besides Jesus, there is no comparison. He stands supreme above royal diplomats. He is above jurisdictional magistrates. He's above, amen, political authority and influence. He's above world power. He stands supreme above nations and principalities. Jesus, there is none like him, none besides him, none to be his equal. No one else can touch my heart like he can. His name is Jesus. It is Vincent William Van Gogh who celebrated among the most famous influential figures in Western art. But in the dazzling splendor and majesty of Jesus, Van Gogh wrote, he says, it is a very good thing that you read the Bible. He said, the Bible is Christ, for the Old Testament leads up to this culminating point. Christ alone. Hallelujah to God. Don't tell me about Harry, amen, about Buddha. Don't tell me about Krishna. And don't tell me, Rastaman, about Alice Selassie. The Bible, whether it was written by a white man or a black man, a brown man or a peach man, hallelujah to God, it leads to Jesus Christ, not Selassie. I come to tell you, not Charlemagne. I come to tell you, the Bible, hallelujah to God, leads to Jesus and Jesus alone. Somebody get happy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ alone has affirmed as a principle, constantly, a certainty, eternal life, the infinity of time, the nothingness of death, the necessity and the reason to terror, that is of, amen, of serenity and devotion. In other words, Jesus is the reason for peace on earth. He lived, hallelujah to God, serenely as the greatest artist. Hallelujah to God. Notice what Van Gogh says. He lived supremely as the matchless artist, made neither stones, statues, pictures, nor books. Instead, he loudly proclaimed that he made living men immortals. That's what Jesus does. Man makes gods out of stones, but he makes, hallelujah, man makes God out of man. The Bible says that we are little gods. Those who know Jesus, we are little God babies. Oh, come on, Monday, Shabba. And God is getting ready his church, and he's telling his children, get ready to come on home. Get ready to see Papa. Oh, Monday, baby, Shia Katabra. I feel God up in here. He is God and God alone. Come, come. Come with me. Come with me. To summarize Van Gogh's assessment of Jesus is to say his record is indisputable. His record is impeccable. His artistry exquisitely eccentric. His accomplishments unfathomable and surpassing. Jesus was the consummate artist, hallelujah, whose greatest work is forever inscribed and emblazoned, not on an art gallery, but upon the hearts of the redeemed. You see, you can't go to a museum to find God. You cannot go to a museum to find artistic replica that proves or validates the existence and the power of God. Why? Because the evidence is engraved upon our hearts, the hearts of those who have been redeemed. Oh, somebody don't hear me. Somebody don't hear me this morning. I want to tell you this, hallelujah to God, that there is none like him. The truth and proof you seek is quoted and engraved, hallelujah to God, all over a life that has been set free from the power of his priceless love, so precious and so divine. Regardless what secular thinkers claim him to be, his power, his inexorable power is clearly seen in the lives of those who've been delivered and set free from the tyranny of sin and guilt. In a very hostile interrogation. I want to show you what I'm telling you. In a very hostile interrogation, John 9, 24 to 25, hallelujah to God, recorded a story. The religious leaders of the day, they grilled, hallelujah, a man who was miraculously healed by Jesus. And they said to him, give God the glory and tell the truth. Give God the glory and tell the truth. We know this man is a sinner. Hallelujah to God. Tell the truth. But this man replied. He said, whereas he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing that I do know, hallelujah to God, I was blind. He said, but now I can see. I don't know about his history. I don't know where he came from. I don't know exactly how he came from being God, sitting on the throne, to the point where he became flesh and blood, lying in a manger. But I joined with the blind man to tell somebody that one thing I do know, once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I can see. I was dead in my trespasses and in my sins, but the Lord God came into my life, turned me around, changed my habits. He saved my soul, and he's alive forevermore. Somebody say yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There are those that are tirelessly trying to refute, to repudiate, to discredit the authenticity of Jehovah God made flesh in Christ. Go on. It's an argument despite your rebuttals. It is an argument you will not win. For flesh who came from the dust is subjugated to the one who formed you by the omnipotence of his hand. May God open your eyes. May God cause you to realize, hallelujah, that there's no one else. It was Oprah Winfrey who once had some dogmatic fallacy. Continue to say that there are many ways that leads to God. Absolutely, Oprah, you are right. Many ways that leads to the God, the false gods of this world. But there is only one way that leads to the eternal. And his name is Jesus. in truth and in deed, I am a living proof that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of sinners, the healer of the wounded, the Savior of lost humanity. I am a living proof of what happens when Jesus takes the scattered pieces of a broken life and then molds and fashions it into a paragon of mercy and grace. I am a living proof that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, the Word made flesh, who dwells in the hearts of man. Even if you doubt the truth, the veracity, and the credibility of the sacred scriptures with shameless audacity, hallelujah, I would dare to say that my life bears proof of the redemptive power of Jesus the Christ of Nazareth. I would push it, my brothers and sisters, even further to say that I've got confidence and evidence not only of Jesus' existence, but that he is really the Savior of the world. Oh, you don't believe me, do you? You don't believe me? Follow me just a little bit down the road, and we'll turn around. The heavy load I once carried, the emotional baggage I eventually dropped off, worthless habits, lawless practices I abandoned and left behind, the wounds he healed, the guilt he removed, the ugly scars he made disappear, the life I now live is evidence that Jesus is the Savior of sinners, deliverer of the oppressed, and the Redeemer of the downtrodden and the hopeless. I am a living witness that Jesus Christ can take the most dilapidated, despicable, spectacles of shame and disdain and make it a thing of wonderment, of admiration, and stupefaction. You say, what do you mean? Well, he can take a broken, messed up, drugged up, jacked up life, and when he gets done with you, like an artistic sculpture, the world will see you and wonder, is this the man? Yeah, I don't care if you're a drug dealer. I come to tell you that God says it's time to let him work on you. Yeah, yeah, you need a little home improvement. Yeah, you need God to touch that broken life and turn it around. There is a revolution that is moving through the earth right now in the midst of this calamity. Systems and structures are being changed. But I want you to know that in the midst of the political, revolutionary, intercontinental changes that are coming, Jesus Christ, above all things, desires to change your heart. And I hope you're ready for the move. I hope you're ready for the move. Lift your hands and tell God, here I am, I'm ready. As I explained earlier, Jewish believers generally renounce Jesus as Messiah. But according to Shalom Ash, a Jewish author, Jesus Christ is to me the outstanding personality of all times. This is what he says. All history, both as Son of God and as Son of Man, everything he ever said or did has value for us today. And that is something you can say of no other man, dead or alive. This is what Ash says. He says, there is no easy middle ground to stroll upon. Oh my God, you either accept Jesus or you reject him. What did you expect me to say? You want me to mention more about coronavirus than I mentioned about Jesus? Corona is yet under the feet of Jesus. And Corona, like the devil,
has an appointed time to be crushed. It will be annihilated, eviscerated. It will vanish in the twinkling of an eye. But God is the only, remains the only constant. After this is gone, you will still have to face the Almighty. So let me tell you how to prepare to meet your God. Oh my God. Yes, yes. That's what the Jewish author says. But then we look at H.G. Wells, who was not only, who was not known as a believer. Rather, he was a famous historian. But according to his own admission, he says, I must confess, he says, that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in all of history. This is what Will says. Now perhaps you haven't given it any serious thought, but consider Socrates, the Greek progenitor, the father of Western philosophy, who taught for 40 years. Plato for 50. Aristotle for 40. And watch this. And though Jesus taught for only 3 years, yet the influence of Jesus' 3-year ministry infinitely exceeded the impact of the combined 130 years of teaching from the greatest philosophers of all antiquity. This is where I must concur as John Knox, that devout Scottish theologian, sums it up. He says, no one else holds or has held the place in the heart of the world which Jesus holds. Other gods have been devoutly worshipped, but no other man has been so devoutly loved. I come to tell you this morning. I come to tell you this morning that there is none like Jesus. I don't know what you think of Jesus or who you consider him to be. But as for me, there has never been and will never be any other to be compared with the matchless King from Galilee. Regardless how the world perceive or classify Jesus, it is critical that each of us have a clear, unambiguous revelation of who Jesus is. Because what we believe about Jesus ultimately determines our eternal destiny. The bottom line is simply this. Whether you believe it or not, the reality still remains, as Jesus proclaimed in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. Jesus is that man. I want to close quickly in telling you, just in case there is anyone under the sound of my voice who stands to contest what I've been saying, who is yet wondering and pondering, you know, probing, interrogating, investigating, and contemplating and questioning whether Jesus was the Messiah or should we look for another. Let me put it to you this way. Buddha never claimed to be God. Moses never claimed to be Jehovah. Muhammad never claimed to be Allah. Albeit angels from the realms of glory declare Jesus, the Prince of Glory, to be the truth and the living God. Buddha rightly said, I am a teacher in search of the truth. Why then worship just a teacher when you can worship he who is omniscient, who knows all things past, present, and future? Huh? Somebody talk to me here. Why? Why? But in Luke, I want you to see this. I want you to see this. Jesus declared, I am that truth. Confucius said, I never claimed to be holy.
But in Luke 1:35, Jesus is called the Holy One. According to the Quran, it was Muhammad who said, "Unless God throws his cloak of mercy over me, I have no hope." Listen to me. That's what Muhammad says. "Unless God throws his cloak around me, I have no hope." Clothed, however, in the dazzling radiance of love and mercy, Jesus says, "Unless you believe in me, you will die in your sins." Jesus Christ is the viaduct where time and eternity converge. And the merger between humanity and deity. Jesus is the junction that connects planet Earth to the kingdom of heaven. I don't know what he means to you, but as one among billions whose life he has rescued and delivered from the gates of hell, I can't explain it, just can't deny it, because it's hard to contain it, but with all assurance, in the words of the old chorus, let me put it to you this way: real, Christ so real to me. I love him because he's given me the victory. So many people doubt him. But as for me, I can't do without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. I don't care what the skeptics, the agnostics, the atheists, the theorists, or the pessimists say. You can't let me doubt Jesus in my heart. I know too much about him. I've experienced too much because of his hands upon my life. Hallelujah to God. Why? Because I'm one of the ones he redeemed from the jaws of death, hell, and the grave. I am one of the ones whose sins have been forgiven. And with joy and thanksgiving, I have the assurance that when this life is over, there is there in heaven, my weary soul shall find eternal rest, serenity, and placidity, not to mention everlasting life. Life. So you think you have life? You think that you are in control of yourself? Your destiny? You are in control of the course of your life? Won't you do something about it now and change what's happening? You're trying to hide from a force you cannot see who's chasing after you to kill you. But Jesus says, "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Oh, hallelujah. Well, let me close for today. Until another day we meet again in this sacred space or in the house of God, let me share with those of you that are still contemplating, those of you that are still in need of a Savior, yet you have overlooked the only hope of glory. I read a story just this past week that caught my attention. Story that took place back in the late 1800s. The narrator tells of a frightened horse that was spooked out, and he took off racing away with a small boy in the bed of the wagon. Seeing the helpless child in grave danger, a young man risked his life to catch the horse and to stop the wagon, and by so doing, by God's help, he saved the boy from ultimate death. The child who was saved grew up to become a lawless man, a terror and a menace to society. And finally, he was arrested for killing an unarmed man, and there he was brought before the judge. He was arrested and eventually brought before the judge. As he looked up at the judge, he recognized him as the young man who had saved his life many years ago. And so he was inspired, seizing an opportunity that might save him
from the wrath which is to come. The murderer told the judge that he was the boy who the judge saved back then. And so he pleaded for his life. He pleaded to the judge to have mercy upon him. In a startling response, the judge said, "Young man, back then I came to you as your savior, and I gave you the chance to become something good. You ignored that chance. You live righteously according to your own rules. Today, I come before you as your judge, and I must hold you accountable to what you have done and for the life that you stole. I sentence you to death." Hear me. You must know the difference between your Savior and your judge. And what you do with your life today determines whether he's your Savior or your judge. This story paints the horrific reality of what will happen to billions of lost sinners when they stand before the righteous judge on judgment day. One day, Jesus Christ will say to rebellious sinners, rebellious humanity, "During the long day of grace, I was your Savior. And I gave you an opportunity to live for me. But because you wanted to live by your own sensual desires and sinful pleasures, you denied and rejected me. I provided and protected you. I shielded and I guarded you. And when you prayed, when you were in trouble and you prayed, I came to rescue you." Hallelujah to God. "But you rejected and denied me." Oh my God. "Will say to you, I reached out in love, calling, begging you to receive my free gift of salvation. But you ignored and despised my love. You rejected me. So today, I stand before you as your judge. And I must hold you accountable for what you have done." To all those who have rejected Jesus Christ, to all those who have put him on the back burner for a more convenient day, here's how Jesus Christ said that the Father will respond to you. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, when you stand before God on your judgment day, when you stand before God, Jesus says his response will be this to you: "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels." That will be the most dreadful, the most horrible thing anyone on earth could ever hear: to be rejected by his creator. For heaven's sakes, choose the Savior today or face the judge tomorrow. Now's the best time you have. The most precious, the most priceless. Honey, do something with your life. Family, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, do something with your life. Stop questioning and searching for another. There's only one. His name is Jesus. You can know him for yourself. You can know him personally. You can make that choice in 1 second to follow Jesus. And if you ask him into your life, he'll not only change you for today, he'll change you for tomorrow. He'll change you forever. Because as Paul says, the life that we live not according to our own flesh, our own dictates, our own persuasion, but by the Christ who lives inside of us. Now, hear me, as horrific as it sounds, it is only in the judgment that you will really see the wrath of God. When you have lived your life, completed the journey of your life, how you have lived will determine where you live for all of eternity. For the soul will never die. I got somebody that argues with me about that all the time. There can be no hell because no flesh can be burned forever and forever. It will not be this earthly flesh that will burn. Your flesh will go back to the grave. Your flesh is only the housing, the container of the real you, who feels joy as well as sorrow. And sorrow, eternal sorrow, awaits those who reject the one opportunity now to make God, the King of Glory, live in your heart, so you can live like a king for all of eternity, without misery, without hate, without wickedness, without darkness, without sin and virus, in a place that offers total immunity from anything that is negative. Today, you can make him your choice. Therefore, in the solitude of your own home, I want you now to bow your heads. I want you to choose the Savior before you meet the judge. It's simple. Just one prayer of confession. Oh, I know. Don't look at your wife. Come on. We came into this world by ourselves. And forget about everybody else that's in the room. You came down the birth canal by yourself, and you're going back before God by yourself. So right now, right where you are, I got 5 minutes for closing. Just a few minutes. Right where you are. Don't contemplate. No time to investigate or to interrogate. Say I'm a buffoon. Say that I am just a false prognosticator of the future. But whatever you do, make Christ your choice right now. Come on. He comes to you now in love and compassion, reaching out to you. He speaks to you through my voice and all the other millions of voices around the world that's preaching the gospel. Accept him. Accept him. He that has an ear to hear, Jesus says, let him hear. And if you choose the Savior over the merciless judge, then bow your heads with me today in a simple prayer. Say, dear Jesus, here I am. I'm a sinner before a holy God. I've done a lot of things with my life that's not pleasing to me, my mama, or God. But honestly and true, I bow before you, who comes to save, to redeem, to renew, to restore, and to make whole. Come into my heart. Wash me. Wash me of every sin, of every wrongdoing. I ask you, take your place inside of me. Lead me and guide me. I've made a mess of my life, and I do admit I need help. I feel far away from you. I don't deserve such grace, but you are my only hope. Dear Jesus, I pray, deliver me. Deliver me from me. Deliver me from my transgressions. Deliver me from my proclivities. Deliver me from my faults, from my weaknesses, from my failures, and help me to walk in the footsteps of Christ. I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. I give you my soul. Here I am. And I confess now, Lord Jesus, by faith, that
because of your love, because of the gift of salvation, I receive Jesus Christ, and I declare that I am saved. Give him praise. Give him praise right where you are. Give him praise right where you are. For your presence, revive us by your spirit.